Penguin Random House Audio presents Before and After, the incredible real-life stories of orphans who survived the Tennessee Children's Home Society, by Judy Christie and Lisa Wingate. Read for you by Emily Rankin. For the heroes of these stories, the adoptees and their families. Where are you? Do you look like me? Are you like me in any way? Letter from a Tennessee Children's Home Society adoptee to her unknown birth family. From the authors. These stories are as remembered and generously told by Tennessee Children's Home Society adoptees and their families. To respect their privacy, we have changed the names of adoptees and family members, with the exception of wonderful actors Stephen Smiley Burnett, his daughter Elizabeth, and his parents, the incomparable Smiley and Dallas Burnett. In our hearts, we will always hold sacred the true names of each of the people we have gotten to know through their stories. Prologue. July 1950 is a hot, uneasy month in West Tennessee. The United States enters the Korean War. Fear of a Third World War hovers while the region still grapples with the after effects of the second one. The stock market plunges. As if that is not enough, boll weevils plague cotton crops and devastate farmers trying to eke out a living. Tumult of a different sort, though, brews for a young, pregnant woman. She has been sent out of state with her 3-year-old son, her sister, and a nephew to await the birth of her second child. A house is provided, expenses taken care of, but the largesse comes at a high price. She has agreed to hand her baby over to Georgia Tan, who has run a questionable orphanage in Memphis for more than 25 years. Rumors about Tan's toxic adoption practices swirl like a hot wind on a dusty day, and they are about to hit gale force. Tan's empire at the Tennessee Children's Home Society, shortened to TCHS by those familiar with the operation, has been built with a combustible blend of desperate pregnant women, shattered children, vulnerable poverty-stricken families, eager adoptive parents, powerful politicians, ego, and greed. But this young mother's life is complicated, and Tan offers a solution. A sweet baby girl is born on Monday, July 10th, 1950. 5 days later, a TCHS worker whisks the newborn away. The traumatized mother is left behind with her preschool-age son. The baby girl will not see her brother again for 4 decades. The aunt, who has come along as a companion on this sad journey, will keep the secret from family and friends back home, intending to take it to her grave. On July 26th, the infant is delivered to a new set of parents, a couple with turmoil of its own. Scarcely 2 weeks old, the tiny girl is on a path that will shape everything she becomes. Whisked away with the speed of a wartime ballistic missile, she will spend most of her life piecing together the mystery of her birth and early years, and wondering how things might have been different. Part 1. Truth Meets Fiction. Chapter 1. Real Life Adoptees. Have you considered a reunion? Connie Wilson is relaxing in her condo in Southern California with her beloved labradoodle, Jackson, when the email arrives. Oh my gosh, Connie, a book club friend from Arizona writes. Have you read Before We Were Yours? It's June 2017, and the novel by Lisa Wingate is brand new. Connie has not heard of it. But faster than her pup can nudge her to play tug of war, she downloads a digital copy. In only 48 hours, she devours it, tamping down emotions as she reads. The fictionalized story about children adopted through the Tennessee Children's Home Society is oh so familiar to her. Connie's life is historic in a way she would rather have avoided. She is one of the last babies placed by the scandal-ridden orphanage. in her late 60s when she, Lisa, and I meet. Connie is one of the youngest members of a unique and uncomfortable club, living adoptees connected to TCHS, people whose lives were irrevocably altered at the hands of Georgia Tan. For Connie and thousands like her, events that took place decades ago are difficult to place in the past. The effects remain ever present. On September 11th, 1950, just 2 months after Connie's birth, a criminal investigation into Tan's adoption practices was announced. Orphanage funds were cut, and the babies on hand were left in limbo. Connie's adoption was held up, and her guardianship was transferred from TCHS to the Tennessee Department of Public Welfare. That was when she joined the tail end of a decades-long line of sad statistics. Under the autocratic control of Georgia Tan, and thanks to her effective grip on look-the-other-way political and civic leaders, TCHS managed to operate in Memphis from 1924 to 1950 without scrutiny or interference. Approximately 5,000 children, many of whom were not actually orphaned, passed through the agency's doors. An unknown number, estimated at 500, perished in unregulated, often squalid, holding facilities. Others were delivered into homes that faced little to no scrutiny, to parents who, for a host of reasons, could not adopt conventionally. These real-life stories left their mark on ordinary people, now in the final season of their lives, as they pass along their experiences with TCHS and Tan's deeds to future generations through their personal accounts of what happened and through their DNA. A blend of what was happening in the world, from the Great Depression to World War II and the Holocaust, and including the stigma of unwed motherhood, led to the growth of Tan's network for obtaining and placing children. Poverty-stricken mothers gave up babies out of desperation. Unmarried young women were not allowed to keep their newborns because of the taint of illegitimacy. And poor parents, hard at work, often unable to afford babysitters, found their children lured from front yards and into Tan's chauffeur-driven black limousine as it glided around Tennessee and Arkansas. With her paid network of doctors, social workers, and even boarding house owners, Tan snatched babies up as soon as they became available. Some frantic birth parents, along with the occasional physician, attempted to challenge Tan, a stern-looking woman with short hair and glasses. Tan, however, had political clout and immense wealth built on the backs of children sold for profit, some of it from checks made out to her personally. With the help of her connections via Memphis Mayor E.H. Boss Crump, a political kingpin with powerful ties throughout the state, and others in positions of authority, she deflected inquiries with the ease of swatting a mosquito on a Tennessee summer afternoon. But now, in 1950, the year of Connie's birth, the end of Tan's reign of terror nears. Tennessee politics are changing. Crump is out. The new Tennessee governor, Gordon Browning, appoints attorney Robert Taylor to ferret out the grisly truth of TCHS's Memphis operations. He has already discovered damning evidence. Only a small network of co-conspirators know the truth. With the investigation underway, they flee into the crevasses of Memphis and disappear like rats running into the city's sewers. Although some community leaders, powerful, wealthy, political, have undoubtedly been complicit, all the blame is conveniently assigned to Tan. She holes up in her home, reportedly in the last stages of uterine cancer, too ill, it is said, to respond to the charges or face the public. Governor Browning releases Taylor's shocking initial report, which details Tan's years of nefarious dealings in the adoption market. She has, the governor reveals, made herself rich and completed an unknown number of horrendous deals involving flesh and blood products. Within days, on September 15, 1950, it is announced that she has died. Tan, 59, never married, leaves her estate to her mother, an adopted daughter, and an adopted sister. The orphanage is not mentioned. The Tennessee state legislature quickly and quietly seals the paperwork of thousands of TCHS children, which will leave adoptees desperately searching for decades to uncover the
sample complete. Ready to continue?